Aunt Emma Raber died at 1 a.m. last Sunday morning. Her 72nd birthday was 15th of April. She's the youngest of my father's five children. The night she died, the hospice nurse was there and was helping a little bit, and she told the family that was sitting around with her, she said, "Emma can't speak, but I think she can hear and understand. Why don't you sing one of her favorite songs?" And so the people that were gathered there did. They sang Precious Memories. And she made little moves as if she recognized or understood. Maybe they thought she might have had tears as well. And a few minutes later, she died. Aunt Emma loved to sing. She taught German in the public country school near her house for the last 30 years. She always had a flock of chickens. She helped with the dairy and with horse farming. And she was involved in gardening at least 70 seasons. Born in Plain City, Ohio, 1946, moved to Buchanan County, Iowa in 1954 when she was 8 years old. She married Roman Raber in 1965. They had 12 children, 80 grandchildren, and at least 20 great-grandchildren and counting. She lived 64 years on the farm where I spent the first 2.5 years of my life. On May 13th, she was in church. She didn't feel good, so Roman took her to see the doctor on Monday. They got the test results back on the 19th of May. They called us on the 21st. She had stage 4 pancreatic cancer and 2 months at the most to live. She's been in a circle letter with her the five siblings, Mervyn, my dad, Mary, Viola, and of course Emma, ever since I can remember. And she wrote on the 26th and the 27th of April, and I will read a little bit from her letter. "Dear siblings, greetings of love and cheer from the Rabers. We finally have some spring-like weather. Roman helped me, and we planted 2 double rows of peas this morn. Ruth is kind of on the blink, so Roman made the rows, and I got down on my knees and put the peas in. This old lady was tired but happy. Maybe it will help so I get more nimble." And then, ha. "Emma loved eating, cooking, holding babies, being with people. Gardening, tending her chickens. She was never nimble." The letter goes on to mention lettuce, radishes, a transplanted cherry tree, tomatoes, cauliflower, peppers that weren't doing so well. And Linda Kaufman, the granddaughter, and Henry Miller, who were published to be married the 30th of May, LW. "How exciting," she writes. "I went over and helped make oodles of noodles, and I washed all her nice dishes." And a little later, she says, "This Roman Raber is quite coffee-minded, as he's heating up the pot now at 4:30 p.m. This coffee dripper that I got from the school parents for Christmas is quite a handy thing. In 5 minutes, you can have a pot of good coffee." And at the end, she wrote, "I wanted to go to that wedding in Macomb, but I gave it up. I hope to visit with Chris Viola, but I guess I can write to her. Let's remember each other in prayer. Love, Sis Emma and Roman." And then it is a little P.S. "We have a new great-grandson named Matthias, born to Marvin and Irene Schwartz. It's an apostle's name." 72 of our family spent last weekend, Memorial Day, in reunion at Camp Marydale near Abilene. This Memorial Day tradition for us started in 1993 when we gathered in Linnaeus, Missouri around the grave of Dwayne Troyer, my sister Regina's first husband, and took turns talking about the events of his life and death. So this was the 26th year that we've done that. We don't talk much specifically about Dwayne anymore, but we still talk, we still listen, we cook, we break bread, we play about life and death matters. The event, Dwayne's death, jarred us into thinking about our mortality. The second year we got together, it became a habit. And now it's an entrenched ritual. Time set apart to contemplate the meaning of our lives. We do things that may seem mundane. We catch a fly ball. We fry walleye. We play Scrabble. We wipe tables. We listen to coming-of-age stories. We sing. We commit ourselves to God in prayer, and we are changed. We do these acts, and they change us. In a way, we have fabricated these rituals, and they have evolved somewhat to meet our changing needs. We were planning to take a last trip to Northeast Iowa on this past Thursday to say goodbye to Aunt Emma, but that was not to be. Because we were gone from home, we didn't get the death message until Monday evening, and the funeral took place Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., 2 days after her death. This made it possible for Linda and Henry to go on with their wedding on Wednesday. Remember the oodles of noodles? Emma would have wanted it that way. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, 1 Peter 1:1-12, and I have two verses here from it. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The New American Bible. That new birth in verse 3 becomes a sacrament in baptism. And I know that sacrament isn't a word we commonly use. We would use ordinance more likely. But I want to think about that word just a little bit this morning. It comes from Latin. And sort of, it means sacred oath or to hallow. And it's combined in Christian understanding with the Greek word mysterion. So it becomes a sacred mystery. And so one way of describing what the word sacrament means is it's a religious ceremony or act of the Christian church that is regarded as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual divine grace. And the things that we think of when we think of ordinances or sacraments are baptism, communion, anointing with oil for the sick, ordination, the Christian greeting, and matrimony. These are all visible symbols of the reality of invisible God. They are not made up, they are not evolved. They are ordained by Christ for his church. They are acts that we do which change us. Each of us in our ordinary days have rituals that act as sacraments. Think with me for a moment of Vigen Guroian. He's a professor of religious studies at the University of Virginia, and he says the garden is a sacrament, a door that Christ has opened for us by which he makes his presence known to us. Therefore, it is a portal to divine life. God's creation is an epiphany. By it he makes himself known to us. Thus we may speak of the world, the garden, as a gift. This is a place which offers us a divine metaphor of Scripture, and it draws us into a profound contemplation of mystery if we allow it to. It is not enough to stand in view. We must be present in it. And I like to think of that image of Aunt Emma on her knees on that fresh dirt following Roman, who was making the row, and she was putting the peas in. Let's stand for prayer. God, we are so grateful for your creation and for your many gifts to us, for the gifts that you have ordained, which are sacraments, which teach us the invisible spiritual nature of your kingdom and of your own mind. May we always, in the things that we do, be mindful, be present, and reverent. May we treat your creation and your gifts to us with gratefulness and with humility. Bless this service, bless the Sunday school discussions and the sermon and our singing. May we be a glory to you in this life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.